Appreciate that prayer, man, and I think we all can agree with them in our hearts, and we're going to get right to it then. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, if you would, and Lord willing, we begin tonight part one of a three-part series on thinking right. Tonight will be when are we to think right. Tomorrow night is what does thinking right even look like, and then Thursday night will be why does thinking right matter? So tonight's when, tomorrow's what, and then Thursday is why. And Lord willing, we'll go through those in the evening services. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I want to make two observations before we begin, and then we'll get started. But it involves praising the Lord, and I want to do that publicly. And if you're saved, maybe you can join me, all right? The first observation was, I believe it was, and if I get your names wrong, forgive me, I'm newer to your youth group, Abby, and I don't know where you went, young lady who just sang, but is it Anna? Oh, there you go, Anna. Did you, your name's Anna as well? Okay. Is your name Anna? Okay, you just sang? We're on the same page. Okay, very good. So Abby and Anna just sang. Anyone notice there were birds singing when they were singing their verse? Did anyone notice that? The birds were singing while they were up here on the platform singing. And I thought to myself, this is exactly how it's supposed to be. God's creation is outside doing what it is designed to do. It's, birds are singing and they're giving the Lord praise. The Bible talks about that. And meanwhile, inside, two other created beings were praising the Lord with their voice. And that, things like that make me happy. Just praise the Lord for things like that. And I'm thankful for that. And then second thing is, I've never heard that song before, that those two young men and those two young ladies just sang. And what a wonderful song. Yeah, that is such a wonderful song. His robe for mine. And that transaction is above me. I don't understand. I have nothing deserving to give the Lord. Yet He gave me everything good about Him, that I might stand before a holy God. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. All right. Well, thank you for rejoicing with me. All right? And praising the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We're going to take our text from verse 1. And I'm sure if you've been in a youth group any amount of time, you've heard this probably preached a dozen times. And so now we're going to make it a baker's dozen. All right? We're going to add one more. All right? The Bible says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, or the clouds return after the rain. In the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. The doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. You remember in Genesis, when God formed Adam out of the what? Dust of the ground, and that's all he was, just laying there. It wasn't until God breathed what? Life, right, through his nostrils, and then man became a living soul. We are spiritual beings. We are not physical beings. The Apostle Paul said to be absent from the body is to be what? Not all at once. You all want to stand? Would that be better if we stood? That was a joke, Lex. Your youth director has already put enough pressure on me. He said, I know that you guys, when you're interested, you stay awake. I'm like, well, thanks a lot, pal. Now I've got to stay interesting. Man, I don't know if I can do that, all right? But we'll try it. We'll try it again. To be absent from the body is to be what? That tells us something, that the body is not who we are. Our personality, our being is not the body, because we will leave this body one day, but we will not cease to exist. We will go, Lord willing, you're saved, to be with the Lord. This is another verse that shows us that we are a spiritual being. The dust shall return to the earth as it was. Your physical body will go the way of all the earth, but you, the spirit, shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. If you go down to verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, I know that you've heard those verses before, and many of you are familiar with them, but their content are so important to a theme like this week. And so, to understand the context, I want us to back up a few verses before chapter 12 and look at chapter 11. Because this is telling us why it matters when we think right. In chapter 11, verse 7, the Bible says this, "Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun." Brother Perks preached this morning, and he commented that it often rains at camp. And he pointed outside, there was sun shining, and he really prompted us to what? To be thankful for the what? The sunshine. That is exactly what verse 7 is saying. Hey, when the sun shines, that's a good thing. You ever know anyone that ever asked for a rainy, cloudy day? If they do, they're in the minority, right? Typically, we want sunny days. That's why in the winter, we have people in our church, maybe like your church, they move south for the winter. Or when it's time to go on vacation, they go down south where it's warm. That's a good thing. It says, truly, the light is sweet, and it is. It's a pleasant thing for the eyes to behold the sun. There's just something nice about going outside. You wake up in a good mood. You wake up on time. That's always important. You wake up on time. You go outside. The sun is shining at 70 degrees, and it's 7 o'clock in the morning. And it's like, this is going to be a good day. Right? It's a whole lot better than waking up at going outside at 7 o'clock in the morning and it's 18 degrees outside. It's still snowing. That's not a... Who amen that? Mine. There's an altar space right up here. So. Yeah. Well, you're living in the right place for it, because I guess you guys had a pretty bad winter, so I guess you're the only one happy with that, I guess. I texted your pastor, Pastor Roland, back there. I looked on the weather, and this has nothing to do with the message, by the way. Let me just tell you the story. I had hurt myself. I fell down our stairs. Can you believe that? As athletic as I am, I fell down our stairs, and I hurt my leg really bad. I had never known collateral ligament or something like that. But anyway, Brother Metacroft probably knows what it is. I don't know. But I hurt it. That's the bottom line. I hurt it. And the weatherman came on and said, we are going to get hammered, and so injured, I'm out getting wood into my house because we have a wood stove and I want to make sure that my family is taken care of, and I'm out there, I'm struggling through the pain. We didn't even get any snow. As a matter of fact, and this is no exaggeration, we got a light rain that melted what snow was there. So I'm looking at these two large bins of wood in my house saying, now I got to move them back out. But I looked on the weather, and I texted your, Brother Roland in the back there, because it said that the Lehigh Valley snowfall was going to be like 4 inches an hour or something like that. And you guys got hammered, I guess, from that, right? So you were happy about that.
It wasn't as bad.
Let me talk to you about thinking right tonight, all right? So anyway, all right? No one wants that. We like the warm weather, right? And so the Solomon is saying, it is a pleasant thing for the eyes to behold the sun. And we understand that. We get that. But if a man live many years, verse 8, and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Do you guys ever know what a oh, man. I'm trying to think Oh, man, that's funny. Just stop recording now. This is, Have you ever heard of someone, they just always have something negative to say? Right? A killjoy. There you go. Thank you. Thank you. All right, killjoy. That's sort of how you feel right now, right? He's talking about the sunshine, and he says, if you live long years, that's how you want to be. And then here comes the killjoy part, but you're going to die. That's what he says. He's basically saying, but just don't forget the dark days are coming, right? You go outside, you're enjoying the day, the sun is shining. This is such a beautiful day. And then someone else comes up, supposed to rain tomorrow. So we'll just enjoy the day, please. Why do you have to be like that? Yeah, not going to last long. It's coming. Bad weather coming. I can feel it in my knees. It's not happening. And we all know those people, don't we? Right? Well, this is what happens. He says this. It's good to enjoy life, but let him remember the days of darkness. They shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. It's not going to last forever. Verse 9. Rejoice, young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. And then he says, that's why it's important to remember now thy Creator. Here's what the Lord is telling us through these last two verses of chapter 11. Yes, it's true. It's pleasant to see the sun. But we have to remember that there is a future. And we realize that life will end, some sooner than others, unfortunately. But one way or the other, we all are going to stand before God one day. And that's just truth. It's not just Him trying to be negative or Him just trying to be down. It's Him trying to keep us balanced. Because if we live like there is no tomorrow, if we live like we're never going to die, we're not going to live well. We're not going to live right. We may live fun, but we won't live well. And there's a big difference. And so this is why it's important that you right now in your life think right. Because he says here, you should rejoice. And I like that the Bible says this, by the way. We should rejoice, young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart in the sight of thine eyes. There are too many young people today who live as if they're 60 years old. They worry about everything. They're not enjoying life. They're not having fun. Listen, there's nothing wrong with enjoying life. The Lord wants you to enjoy life. That's why he says, rejoice, young man. In other words, there's going to come a time when you can't. When you can't do all the things that you want to do. Do them now. Enjoy your life. Have fun. Go out with your friends. Enjoy life. Have a good time. But remember, you're going to give an account for everything that you do. So this is not saying you can't have fun in life. It's saying this, that you should enjoy life. And by the way, I want to say this because some may read this and say, that doesn't sound right. The Bible says, let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth and walk in the ways of thine heart. Hold on a second, brother. I thought that our heart was deceitful and desperately wicked. I shouldn't walk in the ways of my heart. Well, unconverted it is. But how many remember what Daniel did in Daniel chapter 1? He purposed in his what? He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. He made a conscious decision in his heart. Psalm chapter 37, verse 4. Psalm 37, matter of fact, turn there because it's not that far away. Let's look at this together. Psalm 37, verse 4. Psalm 37, 4. Many of you know this verse by heart. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the what? Of your what? Of your heart. Now the Bible doesn't make mistakes, and I'm not being irreverent. I'm saying this for a reason. So please don't take it that way, but please listen to what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit has never had a conversation within the Godhead that said, you know what, I moved that holy man to write the wrong thing. God has never made a mistake in giving His word. Not once. He's never looked at Michael the archangel and said, I shouldn't have said it that way. That's never happened. Everything God says is perfect. And so if the Bible says that if you delight yourself in the Lord, He He will give you the desires of your heart. That's what he means. Sometimes we have an unscriptural view of the heart. We're so afraid of what might be in there after we've been saved. If you've not been saved, you should be afraid. You cannot trust your heart. Don't be like Jiminy Cricket on Pinocchio, right? You don't follow your conscience. It's not a good guide. But if you've been converted, you've been converted. You've been given a good heart. You've been given the Spirit to lead you into all truth. That's a good thing. And so your conscience can now bear witness with the Holy Ghost, like the Apostle Paul says. And you ought to live by faith that that is true. Does that make sense? If you say no, I'm going to keep on that point. So does that make sense? For those, yeah, they're like, yes, sir. Yes, that, yeah, good one. But it's true. So when Solomon says, walk after thine heart, of course he's not saying, just do what you want to do, it doesn't matter. He's saying that if God has changed your heart, he's going to put the right desires there. And by the way, God is a good God to his children. I since I was little, I've loved aviation. I love airplanes, I love helicopter, any kind of aviation I enjoy. Matter of fact, I like going on the internet and listening to air traffic control chatter. Has anyone ever done that before? No? You should try it. It's fun. All right, you've done that? Let's have breakfast tomorrow. All right? What's your name?
Ethan.
All right, very good. So I don't know why that was funny. Perhaps you can tell me later. All right. But I love aviation. And there was a time in my life when I realized that, you know what, that's never going to happen. I'm not going to go that way. I believe after the Lord saved me and I was out on Long Island and I realized that, you know what, I believe just as I believe that obeying the Lord required me to repent and turn to God, I believe that obeying the Lord, he wanted me in the ministry. He wanted me to go and he wanted me to preach. And in what capacity, I didn't know at the time. But I knew that's what he wanted me to do. But do you know what the Lord has done for me? A few years ago, I realized something. I love aviation. I enjoy it. I like studying about it. I like reading about it. And when I was, matter of fact, when I was 16 years old, my parents, for my birthday, they had a private pilot who was a friend of theirs, and Glenn, remember him? And he took me up out of Agrincan Airport for my birthday. I'd never been flying in an airplane before, except when I was like 12. I didn't remember that. So, and it was awesome. I couldn't wait to do it again, but I never did. You know, I'm not going to be a pilot. I'm not going to ever do that. And so I'm going in the ministry. And then we had a man come to our church, and he was a pilot. And I went to his, this was with Madison like 2 years ago. He goes, listen, I've got to take this plane over to West Hampton. You want to go? And I'm thinking, well, I don't think he's going to tow it. I said, are you good? He goes, yeah, it's like a 15-minute flight. You want to go? I said, yes. So I got to sit in the co-pilot seat, and I got to fly in an airplane. And then he says, you want to land? And I was like, yeah, right. You're serious? He's like, yeah. And I got to go right up to the runway, and we got close. He took over. And but I got to fly in an airplane. I had the privilege of going over to Bangladesh. And anyone that's not familiar with aviation, the Airbus A380 is the largest passenger aircraft. And Emirates is the airline that I flew over there. And I got to fly on an Airbus A380. And it was a wonderful experience. And we have a lady in our church, knew I needed a part-time job. She came up to me, she goes, hey, our business is hiring. Would you like to work? Guess where she works? She works for a private jet charter company. And they needed someone to clean the aircraft. And I got to go and work on the outside and inside of Gulfstream G5, Gulfstream G4, Challenger 605. This is big stuff. You guys don't even understand this, okay? Lear jets, right? You know what I realized one day while I was underneath the belly of a private jet? That God had given me the desire of my heart. Everything about those highlights had involved me following what the Lord wanted me to do. They were all attached to the ministry somehow. People coming to my church, opportunity to preach to, for a missionary that we knew, a lady in our church who worked there. Matter of fact, if you come up and see me after church, I was on TV. I'm kind of a big deal. There was a TV show that needed a private jet, and so they called up our company. My boss asked me to come in, And they had me there, and I had to sign a paper, and I was on TV. I'm not lying. I'll show you the picture after. You may laugh at the picture, but I'll show you the picture after, all right? But I realized while I was there in that hangar at Islip Airport that I thanked the Lord for it. Because I realized that somewhere in the middle of my obeying the Lord for my life, He had given me the desires of my heart. And I had gotten to fly in an airplane, all the kind of thing, right attached to doing the Lord's will. And here's what I want you to get, young people, right now. Here's what Psalm 37 says. That if you delight in the Lord, did you catch that? Delight in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. You don't have to find God's will. You just have to find God. Delight yourself in the Lord. Make Him the priority. Don't make what does He want me to do. Make Him the priority. Seek Him. Find Him. Follow Him. Love Him. Commune with Him. Fellowship with Him. And you will find yourself right where He wants you to be. And you'll find yourself happy. Being able to do what the Bible says in verse 9. Loving life. Now, I want to say this to some of you young people. It says something very interesting here. Verse 10. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart. He's speaking to young people. He's talking about young men, young women. Remove sorrow from thy heart. Put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. They're going to go away. You're too young to carry heavy burdens. When I loaded up our van for the trip out here to Ohio, I didn't have my daughter Molly carry the heavy suitcase. She wanted to help. Matter of fact, remember what Pastor Roland preached last year? He doesn't need his son to help him change the oil, right? But he lets him come out, and because why? He loves his son. He wants to help. He lets him be involved. So Molly wanted to help. I said, okay, no problem. Here you go. And I let her carry the raincoats. And I carried the heavy suitcase. You know why? Because there are things too heavy for her. And I want to say this. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I know it needs to be said. There are young people here who are carrying things just like he says in verse 10. You're carrying sorrow in your heart. But I want you to know you can cast your care upon the Lord. He cares for you. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, I'll tell you. It's not as simple, because I know I've been there. It's not as simple as saying, Lord, take this from me. But the Bible says in Galatians 6 that we have people in our lives who can bear our burdens with us. We're to bear one another's burdens. And if you've been given parents, then you can share that sorrow with them. You've been given a youth pastor and a youth pastor's wife and Mr. and Mrs. Gable who love you. And for Victory, Brother and Mrs. Perks back there and our church, parents, you have been given people in your life that you can go to for help. You do not have to carry things by yourself. Don't think that. The Bible says, remove sorrow from thy heart. Listen, there's a reason, and I'm not trying to be funny, the reason a chimpanzee is an adult, considered an adult, at 4 years old. And there's a reason you're not considered an adult at 4 years old. Why did God design it that way? Why did God design man to need to grow up longer? Here's why. Because there are things that we need to be taught longer. We're not chimps, right? They go out, they're in the wild, they go out and they carry on an adult life. If my daughter, who's 7 years old, came up to me and said, hey, Dad, I want to tell you, thanks for all you've done for me. I'm getting married. Luke Hammett was at camp. And he's a nice guy. Everything seems to be going well. He's got a good plan for us. We're going to be traveling with George and Kristen. Right? What do you think I'm going to say to her? And this is nothing against Luke. I would love for her one day to marry a fine man like Luke. But I'm going to say, there's no way, sweetheart. You're 7. You're not getting married. You're too what? You're too young. You have a lot of life to live yet. There's a lot of lessons for you to learn yet. Listen, God designed you that way. He designed you to be young for 17, 18, 19 years on purpose. Because there are things you have to learn. And he has allowed adults to have influence on your life to help you. So don't feel like you're all alone, especially if you're saved. You have the Lord, you have His Spirit, you have His Word, and you have His people in your life. And those are all resources that you can go to help you remove sorrow from your heart. Enjoy your childhood. Enjoy your young years. I remember talking to my wife. She was talking about when she was a single a person. And she traveled all. She had friends, and they used to do things. And she said, I love being single. Now, I hope she doesn't love it more after she got married. That would not be good. 5-year anniversary. I remember my single years. Boy, those were great. But boy, if I could turn back time. But what she was saying was this. Is she didn't live her life always looking for the next thing. She didn't live all of junior high going, I wish I was in high school. And then in high school, I wish I was in college. And then in college, I wish I had my career started. Listen, you're going to get to high school, Lord willing. You're going to get to college, and you're going to get to the career. So enjoy where you are right now. Be thankful for what you have right now. Be content with what you have right now. Rejoice now. Rejoice. Live. Enjoy life. Be happy. I mean, that is something that you would think that for, like, at somewhere around 9 or 10 years old, something changes. And suddenly, these young kids act like they have, like, the weight of the world on their shoulders. You don't. It's okay to be happy. It's okay to... Now, I realize there are some personal problems and family issues and things that young people today shouldn't have to experience or have to go through. But that's why you ought to praise the Lord that He has put His Word into your life. And He has given you opportunity to be removed from that, so that perhaps the adults in your life that made bad decisions and affected you in a bad way, you know better now, so when you have children or when you're around children, you don't have to make those same mistakes. Praise the Lord, because not everyone has that. But I think you get the idea. So, by introduction, I get that from my dad, long introductions, rejoice now, enjoy life now. That's okay. If you're saved, trust the Lord, trust His Word, trust His Spirit. He'll give you the desires of your heart. And this is why He says in verse 1, remember now. Anybody know what this word remember means? So let me ask you this way. Can you remember something you don't know? No, you can't. If I said, Brother Gable, remember that time we went out to California together? That was a great time. He would say, no, I don't. Because it never happened. I wasn't invited. You can't remember something you don't know, right? You can't bring to mind something that you don't know. This is important because the Bible says that God, He doesn't say He forgets our sin. That's important. Because God can't forget anything. He wouldn't be God. That means that there's some knowledge He doesn't have. It says He remembers our sin no more. Oh, God knows about our sin, but He chooses not to bring them up again. Isn't that a blessing? Well, this is the opposite. This is saying you should bring it up. You should bring the Lord to your mind. And you ought to be bringing the Lord to your mind right now. The second word of verse 1 is so important. It doesn't say, hey, for the future. It says, remember now. Remember now. Come on now. You ever heard that before? Come on now. We've got to do it. This is important. Remember now. And it doesn't say God. It says thy Creator. And that is extremely significant. Because remembering your Creator means this, that you remember that you have a purpose. By acknowledging that you have been created means you're acknowledging that you have a design, that you have a purpose, and that is extremely important. Let me go back a little bit here on the importance of bringing things to mind. If I were to ask you in your mind, who in your estimation, and this is all just opinion, we don't have a way to kind of, you know, guarantee this is true, but if you say, listen, this guy or this lady in the Bible, they had it bad. I can't think of a worse situation than this person. Who would it be? Who would you come up with? Joseph, thrown into a pit, forsaken by his family. That's pretty bad. Get sold into slavery. Not good. Good work ethic, good character, works his way up, thinks things are going well, gets lied about, gets thrown into prison. Not good. Then becomes second in command of all of Egypt. That's not bad. Right? But that was a rough go for a while, right? Who else? Job lost his family, except for his wife. Lost everything he had. Matter of fact, I want to show you something neat about Job, but not now because I don't have time for it. So come up to me later personally and I'll show you, especially young people, because it's so important. God gave it back to him, but he went through a bad spell, didn't he? All right, who else? Somebody else? Yes, sir. That's a good one. Lazarus. I think he about did the one I was thinking of, actually, because he was dead. That's true. I think it was pretty much a bad place to find yourself in. Yeah. Well done, sir. Well done. Somebody else? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? That's not good. Somebody else? Stephen? They're being bloodied and beaten and stoned. That's a good one. Anybody else? David? Naaman? Naaman, leper? You know, man of God in another country? Very good. How about Jonah? Now, I'm not trying to be funny. You find yourself in the belly of a whale. That's not good. Am I wrong? I find the story of Jonah very interesting. Matter of fact, let's turn there. Go with me to the book of Jonah. If you don't know where it is, go to the book of Malachi. Go 7 books backwards and you'll find Jonah. All right? Where's Malachi? Woo! Go to the last book of your Old Testament and go back. All right? Someone found it. You can't find it? All right. Now, you know the story of Jonah. God has told him to go somewhere, but because he had wrong thinking, he was prejudiced, right? He thought wrong about the Ninevites. Nothing new under the sun, Solomon tells us that. There was prejudice back then, there's prejudice now. He doesn't want God to bless the Ninevites. And he not only thinks too lowly of the Ninevites, he thinks too highly of himself. Because what he says is, if I don't go, it's not going to happen, so I'm not going. I'm not going to do that. God wants to do that. That's not going to be with me. And so he leaves. He goes the opposite direction. And you remember what happens? He boards a ship, and what happens to the ship? It finds itself in the middle of a storm. I find this one of the most, and I'm not trying to be funny, it's one of those humorous events I find in the Old Testament. The wind is howling, it's blowing, the rain is coming down, the waves are crashing against the ship. They're trying to unload as much as they can. And Jonah is there going, guys, it's me, I'm the problem. If you throw me overboard, everything will be fine. And they're like, that can't be, we're not going to lose anyone. The captain's not going to get back to the port with a missing person. They're trying to offload as much as they can. They do all they can. Finally, he convinces them it's him. And in all this chaos and wind and water, they throw him overboard and suddenly it's silent. Now, can you imagine what that must have looked like? Jonah gets thrown overboard, and all of a sudden he hits the water, and all of a sudden everything's fine. And there's Jonah dog paddling. I mean, off the ship. I mean, I find it's like, can you? If you were a sailor, how awkward would that be? Well, good luck. And they're gone. Now, I don't know where they were, but God had prepared a whale, a great fish. And I don't know if they saw it happen. I don't know if they were there, but all of a sudden, Jonah was there, and then he wasn't. He's gone. He's done. And Jonah tells us in chapter 2 where he went. No, look at these verses. Jonah chapter 2. Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. I mean, I've prayed in some bad spots before, but never there, right? Out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and that we all can understand that, and he heard me. Praise the Lord for that. That God heard him. Out of the belly of hell I cried, and thou heardst my voice, for thou cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea, the floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. You can imagine being that far deep, you're surrounded by water, all the waves that we see on top of the water, they're all happening above him. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. This is a, a very graphic picture of Jonah in the belly of a whale. He's being brought down, down, down to the bottom of the ocean. There's seaweed all around his head, gastric juices all around him. He's going to be suffocating here not before too long. He says, I went to the bottoms of the mountains. That literally means this, the roots of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered. I remembered the Lord. Now, what happened is, when this man was in the lowest condition that he could have been in, suddenly his thinking changed. Suddenly his attitude changed. And it all had to do with him remembering somebody. Not something, but somebody. He remembered the Lord. That's what it says. And my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of, what's that word? Thanksgiving. Could you be grateful in the belly of a whale down at the bottom of the ocean? I don't know that I could. But he said, I'm going to pray with thanksgiving. Do you know why he's going to pray with thanksgiving? Because he believes God's word is stronger than the condition that he's in right now. That's pretty powerful. Because he remembered something, and that was this, at the end of that verse, that salvation is of the Lord. That the Lord is more powerful than my present situation. That is called thinking right. Now here's my favorite part of this. The Bible says the Lord spake unto the fish, it vomited out Jonah upon the land. One man said this, that a grateful prophet gives a whale indigestion. And as soon as his thinking changed and he started praying out of gratitude, here's basically what he said. You can imagine this. Seaweed wrapped around him. He goes, what am I worried about? What are you worried about? You're in a whale, pal. He said, what am I worried about? Salvation's of the Lord. If this was up to me, I'm dead. But it's not up to me. The Lord can take care of this. And I'm going to pray. Now here's the blessing of it. Did the Lord know how Jonah would act after he preached to Nineveh? Did he know Jonah would pout? Did he know Jonah would have a bad attitude? Yes, he did. But did he honor Jonah's request anyway? Yes, he did. Do you know why? Because God is a covenant-keeping. That means he's a promise-keeping God. Amen? And that, here's why that blesses me. It may not bless you this way. Here's why it blesses me. Because I know I'm going to fail the Lord sometime in the future. But yet I know that God has answered prayers now for me. And he's blessed me right now. In spite of what I may do in the future, he's blessing me right now. I love the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. But what changed with Jonah? His thinking. I remember the Lord. The truth of the Lord came back to my mind, and I realized, oh, that's right. Everything can be a salvation. And it was. The Lord brought him right back out. So this is the importance of remembering, bringing to mind. And I hope that illustration gave you an example of how powerful remembering the Lord can be. Remembering your Creator. When should you do it? Right now. And who should you remember? It's your Creator. This is why. And just give me a few more minutes, okay? When you realize that you have a Creator, you realize that means you are created. And the Apostle Paul told the Church of Corinth, he says, if any man be in Christ, that means anybody, any age, any race, male, female, man, woman, any man be in Christ, he's a new what? Why did he use the word creature? What's the root word of that word? That's right. A creature is a created being. You're a new creation. When you remember that, here's what you remember. Wait, if I acknowledge God created me, I'm acknowledging that there's a purpose. There's not one thing, you can't find one either. There's not one thing on this earth that has been invented just for the sake of invention. It's all. Everyone has a purpose for doing something. And God has a purpose for you. But he has given you something very important. He's given you three things, actually. And we're going to go over it quickly. I still have your attention? Okay. A lot of people say in Genesis, God made us in his image. And so how is it? Well, that he's three parts and we're three parts, soul, spirit, body, and all that. That may be true. I don't know that. But I do know this, that we are spirit. That's what the Bible says, right? And God is a spirit. And a chimpanzee is not a spirit. A chimpanzee is a chimpanzee, and there's nothing more. A dog, although it's spirited, for sure, it can obey commands, but we're not like dogs. Dogs can be taught to roll over, they can be taught to obey, but we are greater than dogs. We are a greater creation than that. You know why? Because we have a soul, okay? And so our true being is immaterial. This that you can see and touch is going to go away. But who I am and who you are, it's immaterial. That's why you're going to be given a new body one day. And we praise the Lord for that. But God has given you, created you with something very important. It's not just a soul, spirit, and body. It's a mind, it's emotion, and it's a will. And this is very important. Why did God give you a mind? To know Him. To know Him. Why did God give you emotion? To love Him. To love Him. Why did God give you a will? So that you could obey Him. But here's why that order matters. Because you're never going to obey a God you don't love. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? If you loved me, you would what? Keep my what? Jesus said, if you loved me, you would keep my commandments. If your emotions were right, your will would be acting right. You're never going to obey a Lord that you do not love. But listen, young people, you're never going to love the Lord unless you know Him. That's why I love the Bible. Because it tells me all about Him. You want to know what God is like? I mean this. Study the Gospels. Study Jesus. That's what God is like. What you think about God affects your emotion about the Lord. A.W. Tozer is a man. He's an author and a preacher. He's dead now. But he said something that's very true. Here's what he said. He said, tell me what a man thinks about God, and I will tell you what kind of Christian he is. In other words, I don't need to know how much he goes to church, how much he tithes. I don't need to know how much he puts in the offering plate. I don't need to know how many times he goes on soul winning or he goes on teen visitation. I don't need to know that. Just tell me what he thinks about God. That will tell me all I need to know about what kind of a Christian he is. Because he understood what the Bible teaches is true. There's order in everything. When should you start thinking right about God? Right now. Right now. You don't have time to say, well, you know what, when I get older, I'm really going to study this thing out. No. God has given you the ability right now to know Him. So bring Him to mind now. Remember now your Creator. You have been gifted with things by your Creator. By the way, who knows more about us than God? Nobody. And He's given you a mind, an emotion, and a will. A lot of talk about obeying God. A lot of talk about loving God. Listen, don't worry about that right now. You focus on knowing Him. On bringing Him to mind, studying Him. Study His attributes. Study His being, what He's done. All throughout the Bible it tells us about God. Remember now thy Creator. Right now, is tomorrow night we're going to look at what does that mean? Okay, so Pastor, you say I should start thinking right now. Well, what does that mean? We're going to get to what that looks like tomorrow night. But I wanted you to understand tonight that God has given you such opportunity as a young person to live a happy life, a good life, an enjoyable life, and you should be doing that. And you should be beginning right now to think right about not just about life, about yourself, but about God. It's true that God will give you the desires of your heart. It's true that if you delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. But here's why Solomon says it. Here's why it's important, and we're done in about 5 minutes, okay? Here's why it's important. And please listen to this. Here's why now it matters. Because when you get older, you can't. You can't. Where's Taylor? My man. Volleyball MVP. At least that's what he said. I don't know. All right. Let me ask you a question. What was your GPA when you graduated high school?
2.6.
Okay. Well, I mean, in college, you could. I'm sorry. I that sounded like the worst insult ever. I am sorry. Like, I'm like, you think you get a 4.0? He's like, probably I could. I'm like, no, you can't. So what I meant was, let me rephrase the question, okay? Can you get a 4.0 in high school now? No, why? It's too late. 4.0, you should have done it in high school. I'm not trying to get you at all here, but it's too late. Listen, I'm 38 years old. There's a lot of things that it's too late. That part of my life is over. I can't. If I could go back and redo it, trust me, I would. But you know what? I can't. I can't. So I have to start now. There's a great quote. The best two times to plant a tree. 20 years ago and right now. Right? Right? In other words, I didn't do it 20 years ago, but I'm going to do something about it now. That's very true. You cannot go back and do it right. It's impossible. We live within time. We're not God. We're constrained by time. Do not assume that when you get older, you'll start doing it. Because you know who makes a horrible freshman in college? This has nothing to do with any of you freshmen in college, by the way. You know who makes a horrible freshman in college? A horrible graduating senior from high school. That's who. If you want to be a good 20-year-old, start being a good 19-year-old. Guess what? It'll happen. Remember now. You know why? Because Solomon says there's going to come a time when you won't be able to do it anymore. You're going to get old. The eyes will stop working. The arms will grow weak. The legs will not be what they used to do. You're going to be bent over. You won't be able to do what you used to do. You're going to walk around old, not able to do what you could do when you were younger. Now, remember now thy Creator. He says in verse 8, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. That's why we live in a society today where they're very flippant. They're very flippant. You talk about spiritual things and they make jokes about it. It's a society that thinks nothing of vulgarity, all things that are wrong. They love that stuff. That's why they entertain themselves. We live in an entertainment-rich society. Would you agree with me on that? How many of you know what the word muse means? Come on now. You're in college, right? What's the word muse mean? To what? It's a synonym for another word that's a verb.
Think about it.
To think. That's right. Very good. To think. What does amuse mean? When you put an A before a word, what happens to that? What happens? It's gone, right? Morality. There's morality. If it's amoral, what happens? It means there's no morals, right? Do we live in a moral society or an amoral society? An amoral society, right? An amoral society, however you want to pronounce it. Well, what do you think amusement is? Amusement means something that doesn't require you to think. The hardest thing you have to think about is turning the trigger or whatever it is, or going to a roller coaster ride, and there's nothing wrong with having fun, I'm not saying that, but we live in a society that wants to amuse you, entertain you. We are gradually getting worse and worse and worse. Young people, do not fall into that. Don't be so quickly entertained. Don't be so quickly amused. Don't be so quickly hooked by what the world offers. Be a thinking young people. Thinking. Now, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. You're going to live with... There are people in churches and in your culture that are flesh driven. It's a vulgar society. They do not think. They make a mockery of spiritual things. Don't surround yourself with people like that. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. Quickly, and I'm done. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments. There's two things. It's not one and two, because conclusion is a singular word. So let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It's two parts. Fear God, keep His commandments. Right? And we're going to get to that tomorrow night. All right? But it's important, because we're going to stand before the Lord one day. All right? So, I hope something said tonight made sense to you. All right? But I want you to remember, when should you begin thinking right? Now. It has to begin now. Do not fall into the idea that I've got time. I'll wait till I'm a senior. I'll wait till I'm a junior. I'll wait right now. Remember now that you are a created being. You should be doing what those four young people did up here earlier. You should be living your life for the glory of God, giving Him praise with your voice, with your actions, with your life, all that. Why? Because you have a responsibility to a Creator, to obey Him, to love Him, to know Him. It starts with knowing Him. And you're not going to know Him until you learn about Him. And this is where you do that right here. So I hope that tomorrow in your God night time, you make a conscious effort to know God. If you're saved, know more about Him. Evaluate your life. What are your priorities? And if you're lost, that you know Him in a relationship sense. All the things I said tonight, they don't matter if you're lost, if you're not saved. You can't even please your Creator right now. It's tragic. I don't want that to be that. I look back and it's just tragic when young people who have such potential, they go to church every Sunday, yet nothing they've done has brought pleasure to God that created them, because they're lost. Don't allow that to continue. Change that tonight. Turn to Christ. Be saved. Begin pleasing Him tonight. Remember now, young people. Remember tonight your Creator. And rejoice in what God's given you. Father in heaven, thank you for the day. Lord, I thank you for the wonderful weather we had today and the wonderful spirit we had in the camp so far. I pray, Lord, something said was a blessing to these young people. I pray it helped them. Father, I pray that you'd make up for what was the things that were done. I pray that you'd just speak to their heart, allow them to understand the importance of right now thinking right about you, about themselves. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.